Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Satan will never tell you, don't share the gospel. It will only build a system around your life that ensures that you don't even think about it. When you get home, check your screen time on your phone. Then you will know, peradventure, maybe you are as busy as you think you tell everybody you are very busy, but check the phone and see how many hours, productive hours, you have on IG and Facebook. Then we can come back for another meeting. I'm just trying to tell you, you are not as busy as you think you are. Everybody creates time for what they consider important. And like you have shared with us, while getting to heaven is by faith, we will not be equal in heaven. Yes. Jesus died for you. Jesus saved you. Jesus rose up for you. Everything they did for you. I came to tell you that in heaven, he who loves more will be greater than he who loves less. And one of the proof of that love is every time you open the gate and you allow someone find Jesus. You know, Jesus had a big problem with the Pharisees. He said, you travel miles to seek for a soul, and after then the person becomes twice the son or the candidate of hell. And that reminds me of the church of today. People leave their houses and they come. They expect you to tell them they need to repent. Then they come and find out what they did in their club last night is what you are doing here. You only change the sound and give it a bit of Jesus. But just because Jesus is there doesn't mean he claims ownership. Jesus doesn't claim ownership of everything. I used to think as a child that if I started a business, and once I grew up, I'll start a business and call it the Grace of Jesus Christ Limited, that I'll become very rich. I was so young that I used to think that once you add the name of Jesus, I don't know, is there anybody like that? I just felt like once Jesus is there, you are good to go. The business principles has nothing to do with Jesus. Eh? If you have bad customer service, even name your business Father, Son, Holy Spirit International Limited, Forever Global Empire, you will run at a loss. So one area, instead of praying, God, show me my ministry, that your friend that is always talking to you, why not try to engage the person? And there are two layers to this. You may choose to be a direct evangelist like Paul, Peter, or you may choose to be an Andrew. Andrew could not convince Peter, but he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus did the conversion. There was also another man, Nathaniel. That one will not come, so Jesus went to him. Say, oh ye of little faith. He did not believe, say, all these people just going about shouting Jesus. When Jesus mentioned his name and describe where he saw him in the spirit, the man calmed down. So some people will require giftings of the spirit. They require the supernatural. I'm just saying that one cap doesn't usually fit all. Sometimes, if the person is your friend, all you have to do is bring the person to another one of your friends who is not close to that person, and that person can engage him properly. There are certain people, if I want to preach to them, I'll take them to a nice coffee shop at Ikeja GRE. An order for coffee. Coffee is 5,000. For Christ's sake. The milk is... I even have the pink milk in my pocket. I brought it. But they will not take that one. You have to order from the... You know, and they put on the AC. So you cannot afford to be poor. Say amen. Amen. Some people will not listen to you. That's why we need the Josephs of Arimathea. Yes. That one will enter where Peter cannot enter. So, but if you want to do bicycle ministry, it's okay. But I'm just telling you that there is a level. Sometimes you need to take the person out, make the person feel special. So, and we do it when we have business meetings. You want to close a deal, you take the person to a very expensive place, and you choose the place and you pay. So that person will know it's not about the money. So when I tell you the contract is 250 million, you won't be arguing. But if you do that somewhere under the tree, and you're under this bridge, and you're saying, hey, it's okay, it's a good price. They already know you're a fraudster. But when you go to Sheraton or some other place, environment can affect destiny. So please, you must be evangelistic in your mindset, and you can still do a lot before the year is over. Bring someone to the Lord or lead the person to another person who can help us present the authentic gospel. I was speaking with a particular a man from Dubai. He wanted us to do some things together. And he said to me, don't tell them anything. Just introduce me as your partner. I will talk to them. You know what he said to me? He said, even though we want to work together, and I know you are smart, but you don't know what we are doing. You understand? He said, you don't know. It will take you like a year and a half of just watching me. So I said, I know they do this kind of business. What he was doing was discipleship. Watch me. That's why the error of any church is to put the microphone in the hands of anybody and say, come and share your testimony from the kingdom of darkness. The guy doesn't even know where he is. He just came. He just, last week, he gave his life to Christ. No. Sit down first. Let's train you. Hear the word of God. Know your left. So you won't come here and start saying, hey, collect the mic. God, please, let's stretch our hands to our brother. There's no need for that. You can't be a kingpin for the devil. You now come here. No, you go and kill. They will train you. If God, peradventure, still wants to use you, you will start as a cleaner. Then we'll see your humility. They will raise you. So please, if you prioritize the Lord, He will prioritize you. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So you have the flyers. And let me tell you, where they are not here. In one other church I used to attend, people keep those flyers to buy puff puff at, I said, not this church. So here, we don't eat puff puff here. We are men of prayer and fasting. Should we go on another 7 days? Let's fast. It's like we have been eating too much. Now, let me tell you, Satan will never encourage you to fast or study your Bible. So in case you want to ask, is it God that is talking? Don't worry about God. All right. Matthew 26. Please let me turn to your neighbor. Be happy. Be joyful. The Lord is with you. Now, I wish I had a chair. I would have wanted to sit down, but this is not suitable for sitting. Because I want to do a Bible study, very brief one. Please, Pastor, let's arrange for a chair. Not this, not today. Like the one that is a proper chair that I can sit down with on the altar. Maybe then do Bible study, because sometimes after preaching here, I normally have waist pain, so it's not. I have to start thinking of the next 20 years now. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, that story or that entire chapter speaks about the procession into the death of Jesus and how he was crucified. Most of the times we go to this scripture during Easter. But because we are considering the subject of the Holy Communion, I want us to look at it. So you all know the story about Judas sharing the same honorarium with Jesus Christ. So I will not go there. I feel pity for the young man. He was just an unfortunate man, because I know many criminals today that are worse than Judas, and God has not pursued them. So I feel sorry for the man. So I will not talk about Judas today. I want him to rest in peace. So the background to this story is that Jesus had asked the disciples to prepare for a supper. And when they had done so, they all sat there and they began to say a few words. So I want us to look for that verse where he said, "This is my body." I think that is in verse 26. I will avoid Judas today. I've suddenly started feeling pity for him. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, New Testament, which is shed for the remission, for the remission of sins." Next verse. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, let me start by telling you that there are a few religious rites that we have in the Christian faith. The first one is the water baptism. if you are baptized as a baby, you have not been baptized. If you followed your mom to be baptized and you decided to jump inside the water, you are not yet baptized. The last person I casted out a devil from, that one girl like that, she said she was baptized as a baby. Alright, so I have to send the devil out because she's not baptized. Meanwhile, when I was casting, a male voice started challenging me. I said, "Me, a old man, you brought another man, a male voice. You are so weak. You hide inside a woman's body." "Hey, Pastor, when I was praying for her, a male voice said, so I left her. I said, I should come and call you." Go back and finish what you started. Go back. When you cast it out, either you die there or somebody should cast out the other. There must be a casting. Don't call me again and say you casted out something. Go back. That's really where you learn. There's chemistry, theory, and practical. So this is the practical. Some people got baptized by mistake. They just escorted their friends for baptismal class in Redeem. And by the water there, they decided to join. In my own case, I refused to be baptized for many years. And I was a leader in church. I refused. I said, "I want to have the same encounter that Jesus had. That the day I entered that water, I must... a heavenly voice." One day I just advised myself, "One day you will wake up, all your hair will be white. You better go and do what you want to do." I just wore my knicker and my t-shirt and I went, and they put me inside the water. So while I was in the water, I was waiting. Maybe there will be a heavenly voice. There was nothing, so I came out. But something happened. I noticed while I was in the water, it seemed I was there for eternity. And I observed. It's like I blanked out. It was when they raised me out that I became aware. So I said, well, I died with him and I rose with him. So I'm happy. I did not hear any voice, but I blanked. So whatever happened, I went to clean the water from, because that water, nobody should bathe there. The second religious rite is the Holy Communion, or what we know as the Holy Communion. Both rites I've mentioned have been abused. Some people believe that when they feast on the bread, that it is the literal body of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that? Because Jesus said, "This is my body," right? You believe that what you are eating is the literal body of Jesus Christ. That when we pray, that bread becomes the body. Alright? So you're a murderer. You're a wicked person. The person who made that statement that this is my body was standing there. And he gave you bread and said it's my body. And you believed. So you mean as you are now, if they put a gun to your head, you can eat a human being. You mean what you are trying to tell me now is that if they put $500 million here and say eat this man, with pleasure, you will eat him. There will be nothing left, no bone, no nothing. Nobody will know somebody was here before. You ate a whole, say this is my body. And you submit, you were happy. You took a whole, you squeezed my Savior into a loaf of, say today, my dear, I will eat you. And God said, this one, don't give him plenty anointing, because this one, another anini in the making. So they'll just keep you at that level. Because the way you ate your Lord, nobody should eat like that. Without mercy, you ate. Like Judas, that one did not even wait for the instruction. I will leave the guy alone. The guy just put his hand. Before they announced that they should eat, he just put his hand. Which symbolized he was the one that would crucify him. Are you with me? Watch people. Patterns don't lie. Jesus said that there are two aspects to this matter. First is spiritual. Second is physical. When Jesus put up that scripture, when he said, this is my blood, drink it. Now, this suggests to us, the moment the blood is shed, a new covenant begins. The old era is gone. Why you need to study the Old Testament is because you will find the character of God in the Old Testament. You will find the principles of God in the Old Testament. You will see how God's character is, how he relates. You will see so many things. When Jesus said, the old law has been compressed into the law of love. You may not understand until you go and read the many, many, many laws that man could not keep. So when Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament, it means not only is this blood going to establish a new order, the moment I participate in this process, I also come under a new covenant. The direct impact of the shedding of the blood and my acceptance of this new covenant is that my sins will first of all be forgiven. So which means that the blood takes care of the spiritual aspect of man's redemption. Please take note of what I'm saying, because you will not remember later. The blood of Jesus, which is broken, addresses the sin problem. Are we together? The blood of Jesus addresses the sin problem. You do not get forgiven for your sins by feeling sorry. You get forgiven because the blood cleanses you. You can be sorry but not forgiven. When you have done something wrong, don't go and say, God, anything I've done, knowingly or unknowingly, my brother, your sin is still there in capital letter. Lord, yesterday, I took this money. It's not my own. Huh? I repent. In case the money is still in your pocket, and you say you repented, it doesn't mean the money is now your own. It's still not your own. So find a way to return it. There's another sin that I call the sin of dishonor. Let me give you an example. So a few days ago, one of my friends came from the UK. We've been enjoying life, you know, just going around Lagos, and my wife, and she's my doctor anyway. So we'll be enjoying. So she came to the house, and a nice ride brought her with a driver. So while we were in my compound, you know, my premises, so we just sat in the car, we were talking. The moment our driver parked, he stepped out of the car. Please pay attention. I'm talking about the sin of dishonor. Huh? Because some of you have committed that sin and you don't know why your boss in that your office hates you. But he will not tell you, but you'll be having problem. The moment the driver parked, he came out of the car. So our brother is a very senior pastor in Christ Embassy. And I want to tell you, if you want to understand or not, go and you can learn it from there. That's how you see them. They call their pastor highly esteemed. But here, we are born servant. We are not esteemed. We are born servant. Maybe the next senior pastor will be esteemed. But Femi, you have interest. I can announce you now. No, Sherry. I can announce it now. I can walk away. If you provoke me now, I walk away. I give you the mic. You continue the work from where I stop. If you like, tell them that it was Goliath that killed David. Emitilo. But actually, there's something in that corner. So don't just. I will tell you when it's time. So just be wearing red. Sir, when we sat down in that vehicle, the first thing I noticed is that the driver came out of the car. Then I started thinking about the people I knew in my life. Who would see that I was about to have a conversation with someone and they would sit down? As if you can't read the room. Then I wanted to pull down roll down the glass and all of that. The guy just came by and said, "No, sir." He said, "Pastor said we must never wind down these glasses." I was impressed. The man is not here. The man is not here. I said, Chai. I loved him. I was so impressed. Judas was comfortable, behaving normally and properly when Jesus was there. But behind him was negotiating a price over his master's head. He cannot make it. Can never make it. There was 30 pieces of silver that was negotiated. They sold him off like a useless person. But while they were planning and they were agreeing on the price, Jesus was sitting like a high priest. Because the high priest does not go in without blood. And he was saying, "This, the priest that came before me, what did they do? They will offer sacrifice and present something that looks like the blood of Jesus, but is the blood of animals. And go into the presence of God with that. And sprinkle it on the mercy seat." But Jesus is now the high priest and also the sacrifice. Now giving us details on how the blood can be used and what it is used for. And the first thing he told us is that this blood can be used for the remission of sins. So this addresses a spiritual problem. Please understand me. If you are dealing with family patterns, problems and all, you cannot break free without the blood of Jesus. Are you with me? You cannot break free. And when I say break free, I'm talking about, first of all, your own understanding of what the blood of Jesus represents. Because the blood you may not be resolute in your faith beyond your own knowledge of what the blood of Jesus is. And if it pleases you, the blood of Jesus is a living entity in the presence of God, separate from the person of Jesus. If you read the book of Hebrews, you'll find it. They say, "We have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We have come to the innumerable company of angels. We have come to the spirit of just men made perfect. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." We have come to what? The blood of the sprinkling. All these entities, they stand in the court of heaven. So don't play. And it's that deep. He said, "This is the blood of the sprinkling." The second item here is the physical aspect. His body. Broken for you.
That speaks of your healing.
Oh, hallelujah.
His body broken for you. Speaks of your healing. Speaks about how the penalty of sin affects your life physically. It speaks about the consequence of our deviation. How that someone can actually be saved, but residues of family patterns and some of these things that are troubling you can still be there sometimes. There are people that gave their heart to Christ while smoking. And as they said, in Jesus' name you have prayed, the cigarette fell off their hands and they never touched it again. There were others that even after they gave their life to Christ, they were still using the thing small, small. Some of them, it took them 3 years. Who understands? Who falls into that second category here? You had things that you still continue to do after you became a Christian, and then God bless you. And then later you stopped, right? Aha. The body deals with not just the subject of sin, but the consequence, like sickness, like curses, like poverty, like death. So you need the blood and what? And what? The body. Are we good so far? Now, I believe there are some other scriptures that render this. Let's look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, let's look at verse 17 to 20. Let's consider verse 15. He said, and he said unto them, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Please pay attention. Three gospels rendered this account. This Passover account. Three Gospels. We have Luke, we have Matthew, and we have Mark. So Jesus said, this thing we are doing today, that we are about to do in this service, he said, is something I have desired. Because it's not just an event. The moment I do it here, there will be a signal in the heavens. There will be a shift. Are you with me? Say, with great desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. Now we are talking about the Passover. The Passover is one of those established Jewish feasts. And the Passover, what does it speak of? It speaks of consecration, forgiveness of sins. Passover. Huh? Passing what? So Jesus was the bridge. For what? The Passover. So the Jewish people knew it as a feast, but Jesus is our Passover lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Passover lamb. When the devil tells you tomorrow you are not worthy, tell him it's not because of me. Tell Satan it's because of Jesus. I know I'm a criminal. But because of Jesus, I will Passover. Yeah. When the devil tells you, the way he said to Moses, you can go, but leave your children. You can be delivered, but leave your children. He said, no. Even if you don't have children, mention their name. Michael, Osita, Chikwe. Give me my name, I beg. Chikezie. You know, mention Anatu. Adetonwu. Oluwabu Sayomi. Mention their names. And say, they are in my womb. I cross over with them. The scripture said, Levi gave tithe while he was still in the womb of his parents of see, let me tell you, spiritual transactions can be carried on your behalf even if you are not born. Levi did not pay tithe. Say they already paid tithe while he was in the womb. Sir, when did you pay tithe? Say they told me when I'm in the womb. Did you pay anything? Sir, I don't know, but they told you. Say yes. Your deliverance can be purchased and it will have impact on your future, your later generations. The same way you can enter into contracts and create a problem for future generations, you've got to be careful. So Jesus, being our Passover lamb, also chose the season of the Passover feast to carry out these activities. So while they were in a secluded room, and I don't know what it about Jesus and major events and separation. This is the salvation experience being depicted here. And Jesus told them, let's look for a private place. And when it was time for the Holy Spirit to come in Acts chapter 2, they also found a private place. And the Holy Spirit came there. While people were celebrating on the street about the Passover, some people were here with 12 men, witnessed what? The establishment of the new covenant. What many prophets. Isn't it amazing that something that was prophesied about, when it was time, God did not make noise? I know you want God to shout so that your enemies can see that you have made it. I came to tell you that even the one that that God announced through all the prophets, when it was time, he looked for a small room. Don't worry if you are starting small. God is fine with it. That's how he did his own too. Say, when I do my wedding, he go loud. You better hide your head. Hide your head, though. Nobody send you. Nobody send you. Just bring your father and your mother here. I can rush down here 8 p.m. and join you. 8 p.m. You people are laughing. Is it that you because you want to start your new life paying debt? I don't know what the problem is, you know. Even in Ontario, in all these places, we don't spend money like that. I don't know. That's why people are always owing you. Owe IMF, you owe everybody. So my lad, girl. It's all right. It's your money. As long as you will not tell me tomorrow that the caterer is looking for you. I don't. One other thing I want to talk about is the bride price, but I will jump that one. Yeah, they want to push me into. I jump and pass. While the blood of Jesus establishes my spiritual reality, every sin, every sickness, curse, poverty, debt is tied to sin. Are you with me? Rebellion against God. However, it is possible that Jesus can relieve me of the spiritual consequence of my disobedience, but my natural life may remain the same. It's possible. I was listening to a man of God who said, because he was offered from day one of his birth to the world of witchcraft, that was the condition for him to survive. So when they told him, when you give birth to this boy, bring him. So they brought him. And the boy said he was married on the first day of his birth to a very old woman. And after he became a Christian, he noticed he still struggled in certain areas of his life. And he didn't know why. And he was even praying for other people and carrying out deliverance. But he himself, he knew there was something that he had not risen above. And then later he became sick. He had cancer. And after many days in the hospital, Jesus came into his room and touched him and said, today, I relieve you of the curse in your bloodline. Jesus didn't talk about cancer. He said the curse in your bloodline. The curse in the bloodline is what was causing the cancer. Sometimes that sickness, that delay, that thing you are looking at is just a fruit. It's a fruit. It's not the root. The root is that your parents at some point went and bent their knee to a deity. They got some favor. The Baba said, I should give you this water. Drink it. They didn't collect anything. You didn't know you were the price. You didn't know your bloodline was the price. Nobody will remember. Is it not water? It takes revelation to go back, to dig and go back there. So while the blood of Jesus takes out the thing from the root, the body fixes your life. Amen. Your broken body, it mends it back. Your broken soul, it mends it back. That thing that never allows anybody to rise in the family. There's a particular family that I know about. Every time someone tries to build a house, once they get to the lintel, someone will die. It's an unwritten law that in this family, nobody builds houses. There's another one. If you are poor, you will see them, they're very healthy. They'll be playing around the neighborhood, the village. The day one of them desires that I will be great, there will be a burial service. That person will die. So you have the blood and you have the body. Do you notice that it is usually the blood that is used to sprinkle on the mercy seat? Huh? Not the body. The blood is the spiritual element that can enter the holiest of all. When the high priest gets there in his garment, he begins to praise God and begins to sprinkle on the mercy seat. That blood is so pure. It makes the most... Do you know what the mercy seat is? In that tabernacle, it's covered by what? But do you know the mercy seat is actually God's throne? I want you to come boldly before the throne of... that you may obtain... and find in time of need. One thing God has that Satan doesn't have is mercy. Yeah. That's why it looks like he's patient. He's not weak, but he's patient. And that was what God withdrew from Lucifer. Mercy. That was what God withdrew from Pharaoh. Mercy. When God withdraws mercy, see, it doesn't matter how great you are, you start deteriorating. No king should be killed the way Pharaoh was killed. As at that time, it's like saying the greatest king or the greatest president in the whole world now, you now bury him in the Atlantic Ocean. You understand? And he has his armies with him. And those who resisted, they buried them too. No burial ground. God just feels like disgracing somebody. And it took a whole army. Used the water to cover them. They didn't find their bones. See, when God withdraws mercy, you will see his vengeance. It becomes like a spirit that cannot be appeased. He will do and undo. There was a particular set of people that did not allow Israel pass through their land. The people that Samuel told Saul to go and wipe them out. The Amalekites. They didn't allow the Israelites pass, and God kept quiet. Waited hundreds of years. You are the king, Gabi. Go and kill those people. When you people were, your forefathers were passing here, they did not allow you. So I'm angry. I've remembered now. I'm angry. You just remembered. But the people have died. You say it doesn't matter. Father and son is the same. When mercy is withdrawn, you see God's vengeance. You don't want to find that one. If God will not punish sinners, he will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So you don't want to find yourself on the other side. So we have the blood and we have the body. However, there is something that a conversation that came up that Paul began to address. And we'll do this 2 minutes. Then we'll go into the communion. Paul talked about people who partook of the body and the wine unworthily. I think that should be 1 Corinthians 11. Let's read from verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Go to verse 23. There's something in verse 23 I want to show you. Well, now, when Jesus performed this ceremony at the first, was Paul there? Paul the apostle, was he there? Look at verse 23 very closely. He said, "For I have received of who? that which I what? Unto you. That means, not only, because some people want to commonize, they use Rema, Greek and Hebrew, to commonize spiritual things. That even though Paul was not there, Jesus came to him by revelation and told him the same thing. This thing that he did with Peter and John and James, all of them, that day that they were hiding. It was so important that even Jesus, he said, I received this from the Lord. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, what did he do? He took bread. Next verse. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take heed, for this is what? My body. So what are we doing here? The moment the bread and the wine is prayed over, and I came to tell you, we do not have wine here today. In case you like wine, what you are drinking is not wine. But we call it wine. So anything you call like, you call it. Nobody knows what wine is. So we just grew up and they told us this thing is wine. If you open the thing and see Fanta, it is wine. Jesus said, take it, for this is my body. And this body is what? Is what? For who? For me. For me. He said for me. This brokenness will lead to your own awesomeness. This body is broken for you, for me, for me. No more heart conditions, no more asthma. That's what Jesus is saying. I have broke. You are not seeing it. No more ovarian cysts. This body is broke. The goal of sickness is to break your body and make you weak and make you sick. And you have to be in the hospital. And then the doctor says, oh, he cannot live for so long again. Jesus said, I have taken that place. I told you that the body was for your ownness and redemption. Jesus said, you don't have to be like this again. You can be healed this morning. Oh. You are trying to use your faith to be healed. Jesus said, just believe in me. Don't try to have a big faith. He said, even if the faith is as small as a small, it's enough. I will use it. Oh, Jesus said, I will use it like that. He said, it is, do you know when this body became broken? What he did here was to demonstrate. But do you know when the body became broken? Oh, when they took him away from, is it Pilate? When they arrested him from the garden and led him to be judged. And the man saw that this man has not committed anything. He washed his hand, signifying that even before the law, this is a righteous man. He is only representing. I said, if Jesus says you are forgiven, there is no record against you in heaven. Before the law of that time, he was not found guilty. In fact, to now demonstrate how righteous and how powerful his death will be, he was exchanged with a condemned criminal. His life was so the value upon his life was so strong that it was good enough for a condemned criminal. Someone that was supposed to be kept away forever. The man was not even repentant. What's that guy's name again? He was not repentant. Jesus didn't wait for you to repent before he went to the cross. Oh, goodness me. He didn't wait for you to agree with him. He saw it ahead that Busayo will come. When you were on that abortion table and the angels were angry, he said, she will come back. Leave her. She will come back. She's my own. Do you know that for every soul that is breathing, Jesus has a legal right, he has legal custody, because he already paid. He already paid. Barnabas was not even sorry. The The man on that cross beside him, who said, if you get there, remember me, did not even know what he was asking for. Nobody preached to him. Nobody told him this is how to be a Christian. But he looked at this man. It is not by chance I am beside this man. Ordinarily, I should be beside this other criminal. But there is somebody in the midst. There's somebody in between us. This man should not be here. He looks like he could be a spiritual person, a prophet or something. Say, please. If you are who these people are saying you are, me, I'm condemned. But please, let me be with you in paradise. The first person that Jesus held his hand, the first person to see Jesus in paradise, was a man few minutes to his death who was begging. Say, I'm already condemned, but peradventure, the man didn't even know who Jesus was, but he knew Jesus was not like him. He knew Jesus was not supposed to be there. And Jesus made a bold statement. He said, I will see you. I will meet with you in paradise. Jesus was dying, but Jesus knew he would not be there forever. He knew he would rise. The pain was so much, but he knew he would not be there. He knew he would not be there for long. And he promised that guy, he said, you will be the first to be saved. Listen, this meeting today, you didn't come because you've always been in this church. Today was a chance meeting, a privileged meeting between you and your Savior. Today, it's not because you heard and you saw the signboard and came in. Today, Jesus planned to meet with you today, and that's why you are here. That man did not know that he would die and make it to heaven. The guy actually was condemned for crimes he committed. The other one despised him. He has no regard for anything eternal. He even teased Jesus. The way people try to paint Jesus now, like a good man, that way we can learn some good things about him. Jesus is not a good man. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Lord. He is not like Muhammad. We know where Muhammad's grave is. Buddha is there. Buddha said even him that you push you continue, that he doesn't know what will happen to him. Jesus was the only one who said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. At the end of this journey, you will meet me there. At the beginning, as you take this step, I will be the one to lead you. I will be here, beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. I will be the beginning, the journey, and I will be your destiny. This is not a prophet. This is not a prophet. This is more than a prophet. It seemed unbelievers even seemed to recognize him more. That was it, Pilate or Herod? Which one? Pilate. He saw him. He watched his son. He said, I don't want to Allah. There was a man, a centurion, a man who stood by his cross, and the man looked at him and he was being pierced by his side. Do you know when he rose up? The first place he told Thomas, I know you don't believe. Put your hands here. Thomas broke down. When big men cry, Thomas broke down. You know that spear? It was not animation. It was not film trick. That spear literally, do you know the sharp edge I'm talking about? It literally went through his side. The water and the blood. And Jesus cried. He wasn't acting. He cried. He cried. But he didn't die. He waited until there was a signal in the spiritual realm. The debt has been fully paid. No man can superintend over your redemption as long as Jesus is alive. No man can decide how God should love you as long as Jesus is alive. Listen to me. The one who died for you is still alive and is waiting at the other end for you. Many of you are living under condemnation of men. You are living under the pressure that people and society have placed on you. Listen to me. Jesus didn't give you that body. He took away your body. His body was broken. His fingers, his hands were pierced. He was given a crown of thorns. He bled at the head. He bled at the side. He bled in his hands. Most of the places in your life where you have, you know, gateways into you, the spirit realm, your eyes, he bled through all those places. Forget that picture you see that is posted that we buy. Listen to me. He was hung on that cross naked. There was no cloth on his body. That particular type of punishment was meant to disgrace you and disgrace your family. When they hang you on that cross, you will be there naked. That's why Jesus told John, this is not, take my mother away. She should not see me like this. Take my mother away. Will Jesus get the reward for which he has suffered? Will Jesus get the reward over your life for which he has suffered? Or will you continue to live for yourself? Why do you think it was easy to forgive Peter? Why do you think it was easy? Stay alive, bro. Stay alive, sis. If you can try to stay alive, you will find mercy. If you kill yourself, mercy is taken away. When you come to the table without the consciousness of why Jesus died, of how he went to the cross, you are eating unworthily. When you come in carelessly thinking you are eating bread, my brother, this is the life. This is the New Testament. This is the New Covenant. Everything about your healing and deliverance is inside this blood. So who can lay a charge against God's elect? It is God that justified. Why? Because of the blood. If you don't start your journey today being conscious that the only reason why you will be anything before God is because of Jesus, you will serve idols. Do you know how powerful that blood is? It is so powerful, it cleansed the mercy seat. The mercy seat in the holiest of all. That blood was even purer. Able to cleanse. And we got a type and a shadow. When the scripture says, wherever I see the blood, I will judgment will pass over you. I know you committed a sin, but can I tell you that you will not be free? You will not be delivered by feeling sorry. You will be delivered by coming to the cross. You will not be exempted from the repercussions of your error if you do not come to the cross. Listen to me. Going to bathe at the river will not exempt you. Going with one baba somewhere will not exempt you. If you drink 10 bottles of anointing oil, it will not remove the judgment. Do you know the price Jesus actually paid? Or are you also as ignorant as those who are in the world? Do you know that when he paid that price for you, it was so that you will no longer live for yourself? Do you know that when you go online and do some of the things you do, Jesus is ashamed? Do you know that when you go online and do some of the things you do, that Jesus is ashamed? Because you are the one Jesus was showing off to Satan, that see my work. And Jesus says, which work? This one. Many of us have caused him shame. Despite all he has done, we have brought him, we have made him weep. But his blood is still flowing. Why he is the eternal God is because he is still our merciful high priest. It's our merciful high priest. So let's give them one more year. Let's give her one more chance. Let's help her. Let's help her. She's weak. Is your intercessor. Yeah, but he could not be your intercessor if he was not willing to lay his life. A day will come, by God's grace, many years from now, 50, 60, 70 years from now, nothing in your bank account will have meaning. Dollars, pounds, they will have no value. But when you see him, will you be ashamed? Will he be able to say, I have earned the result, the reward for my labor over you? Will you eat unworthily? It is not just about committing sin. It is about how you come to that table. Some people in those days, they will come and even eat and get drunk. Some will pack the communion and put it in a nylon as though they went for a party. Some will drink the wine in those days and even get drunk. And Paul said, no, this is not how it should be. You must do it worthily. The blood is so potent. If the curse that is in your bloodline spans 14 generations, once the blood comes in like a river, it begins to break it. It begins to break it. It begins to break it. They said, no, your forefather did it. He said, break it, break it, break it, break it, break it. That's how potent the blood is. That's how potent. But do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know how potent? Do you know? Do you know that if you hold down your baby that is sick, can you say, Jesus, this is your baby. This is your baby. Let your blood speak for him. Do you know what the scripture said? He said, it is the blood of Jesus that speaketh what? Better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood speaks judgment. It speaks vindication. It speaks, avenge me, oh God. Jesus said, this one, let us help her. My blood was also shed for her. For the worst criminals. For the worst criminals. For those ones that even we cannot stand. Jesus said, I died for you. For that person behind your house that does abortion. That does abortion. Every three months. Jesus said, she's my own. Jesus has laid claim to humanity. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And Jesus will reign, not because he is God, but because of his sacrifice. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoice, sin every day. Happy day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Do you know that when we, this ceremony is the physical ceremony of our union with him. Because after that ceremony, Jesus was beaten. That thing he said, that my body was broken for you, he now experienced it. When he was saying it, he was speaking with Queen's English. He was speaking properly. But when the beating started coming, he was bleeding. Every one of them ran away. Everyone, because it was his cross to bear. It was his burden to bear. And that's why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him come and I will give him a cross and he will also follow me. Want to follow Jesus, he will give you a cross. He will give you an assignment. He will give you a ministry. He will not allow you to live anyhow. If truly he is your God, he will not allow you to live anyhow. Jesus has laid a claim to your soul by his death and by his resurrection. The greatest joy of any believer should be when he remembers the day Jesus saved him, or the day you lead somebody to Christ. Oh my God. That day should bring tears. It should bring joy. You should rejoice. The greatest miracle is not when a layman walks here. It is when somebody says, Jesus, I am yours. And he surrenders his life to him. It is when somebody who has been in church for years suddenly says, I have been in church, but I have not been in Jesus. I want to be in Christ now. And then he comes to Jesus and we welcome him to the family of God. The only time that the heavens throws party in heaven is when one person comes to Jesus. Because they know the value of what he did. When Jesus comes, the day you see him, will he find the reward of his suffering over you? Rise on your feet. In every day, happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Listen, the reason why people get healed when they partake of Holy Communion is because the blood doesn't just deal with your sin or with the consequence. It deals with the root. It deals with the sin nature. You must understand what we are talking about here. It goes to the root and uproot it. Now, see, I was speaking to a doctor and he said to me that there are certain malaria parasites that reside in the liver. Huh? You may not have any mosquito bite, but you notice that you fall sick every 2 weeks. The doctor said many of those cases, the parasites are in the liver. So anytime you are stressed, the thing comes into the bloodstream. And I said, why is nobody talking about it? He said, no. He said, it's not as easy as that. And I said, but there's a particular drug. There's a blood. There is a body. There is a bread. Huh? He said, that type of drug doesn't go to the bloodstream. It goes to the liver and kills the cells while they are there. Then you will be free. You don't have to use Coartem, Bialaxin, Amatem, Amatil, Amatom, Amatititi. You don't need to use anything because now the drug has gone to the source. Adam is your source. Oh, Adam is your source. And when Jesus came, he disconnected you from Adam and connected you to the last Adam. So from now on, your foundation is no longer the problem. Your foundation is now Christ. So now we can take our time to deal with the symptoms because the root is okay. That is how you know you will be restored. That's how you know your tomorrow is alright, because your foundation is okay. If not, we have to bring down the whole thing. The foundation is destroyed. You have to bring down the whole thing. If not knowing these things that I am sharing with you, is why many people still believe that they have to live a righteous life in their own strength. They don't understand what Jesus did. That you have been crucified with Christ. And you came alive with Christ. And that the same life that Jesus has is the same quality of life that you have. You know, you need to understand this. Father, we bless this. We receive it with humility. In the name of Jesus, we receive of the bread and we receive of the blood. And as we partake, you said, do this in remembrance of me. And today we remember you, Jesus. Today we remember you. We remember your sacrifice. We remember your pain. We remember your righteousness. We remember your mercy. We remember you. We remember you. We remember you. We remember you. Now I want us to take the bread round, or what is easier, we'll take it round. Okay, so we'll take it round. Once you have it, just hold it for a few minutes. But the scripture says, he said, do this in remembrance of me. So while you are standing there, I need you to shut your eyes and remember Jesus. Remember his journey from that room to the Garden of Gethsemane to when he was arrested. I want you to, you can go please. Just go around. No, when you are done, come back. I want you to remember him. Remember Jesus. The blood was shed for your redemption. Some people shy away from this because they've committed a sin. This is even why you should take it. The blood was shed for sinners. The blood will cleanse your sin. The problem is not, partaking of this. It's partaking of it unworthily. Listen, Jesus is for you. He is your helper. Man of God, do you know that the serpent didn't tell Eve, or by extension Adam, to eat of the fruit of life? He told them to eat of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. When Satan wanted to destroy Judas, he did not participate with them. He already broke protocol.
would have been saved. Peter also made a grave error, but he participated. The moment Jesus rose up, it was Peter he first went to look for, because Peter is now part of his body. Are you with me now? Satan will always distract you. He will, from looking at the main thing, he will show you your unrighteousness. But can you please tell Satan that that matter has been addressed? And it's not him that addressed it, it was Jesus. Nobody can lay a charge against God's elect. When you partake of this blood and you partake of the bread, you become part of his body. Then your restoration process can begin. If you shy away because of whatever is hanging over your head, you have even you've made your restoration a bit difficult now, because the one that did not participate was taken out of the room. He left and he eventually died. The word remembrance, when he said do this in remembrance of me, is the word anamnesis. Remembrance, anamnesis. Do this in remembrance of me. We must remember him today. He went to that cross as a lamb, but he rose up as a lion. He became our high priest. He became our king. No more bound by death. He now has in his hands the keys of death and hell, which means no man can tell you your day of death unless Jesus approves it. Has everybody been saved? Now we start with I'll read a scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when I read verse 24, then you take the bread in your hands. And then I will read verse 25. Then you will take of the blood. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please go ahead. Now I want you to shut your eyes and see yourself on that cross with him. For you said, when he died, we died with him. I want you to see him take away your shame, take away your infirmities, take away your sickness, take away your poverty, take away everything that is not of the Father. See him take away everything that sin has brought into your life. See him repair and heal your body and heal your broken soul. Say, do this in remembrance of me. Anamnesis. Verse 25, and after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, when he had drank, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." The word New Testament, the word testament is the word law, L-A-W, or covenant. So it means this covenant is in my blood. He said, "This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Please go ahead and partake of the cup in your hands.
For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you will do, and you show the Lord's death till it comes. Jesus says that by reason of this activity, we proclaim his death before the world. Jesus said every time we participate of this, we show and we declare his death before the world. And he said we must continue to do this till he comes.
The blood of Jesus sets me free from sin and sorrow.
The blood of Jesus sets me free.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free.
Oh yes.
From sin and sorrow. The blood of Jesus sets me free.
Hey, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free.
Oh yes.
From sorrow, the blood of Jesus sets me free.
Hey, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free from sin and sorrow. The blood of Jesus sets me free.
Hey, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free.
Listen, this was the day Satan knew he lost. It was this day that Satan knew he lost. And believe me, this is the day. Wait, hear me. The moment every time you do this, you are making a declaration to the world. In the spiritual realm today now, they will know something is going on. That there is a declaration that he died. There is a declaration that he rose again. There is a declaration that you will no more die. There is a declaration that you will no more be sick. There is a declaration that you are free at last. There is a declaration that Jesus has made over you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
The blood of Jesus set me free.